and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What do you do when you've prayed for healing for a loved one and nothing seems to happen? Is it possible that God has other plans? Bigger plans? Colin and Robin Kumabe have experienced God's healing power in ways that not only have transformed them, it's transforming our society. Transformational power, the power of God. That's what we're here to talk about, and that's why we're here to share and pause at the beginning of our show to remind you about the love of God for you. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, no matter how difficult things have been or where you've been or what you've done, there is always hope in Jesus Christ. In Christ who loves you so much, dear friend, that he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ calls you to himself. And would you turn to him and open your heart to Jesus as your Savior and Lord? And that's our hope. That's our prayer. Colin Kumabe is a board member of Touch a Heart. He's lived with a passion to serve the homeless that goes back to the 80s. He brings his experience of over 25 years in food service management at Wendy's and Zippy's restaurants. Robin Kumabe is the executive director of Touch a Heart, bringing her expertise of brand, marketing, and communications support. Colin and Robin, welcome back to our show.
Thank you,
Danny.
What happened in 2013 when Colin landed in the hospital? What did the doctor say?
I had had a renal failure. I had had diabetes for numbers of years. And finally, I dehydrated and my kidney function stopped. And they told me, well, my kidneys have failed and I have to go on dialysis. And so at that point, that was February of 2013. February 1st, in fact. And so from that point, from March 1st, I was on dialysis.
Robin, knowing that he had diabetes,
yes,
knowing that this, at some point, it was like it's like a moment of reckoning. You know it's coming. How did that influence you?
Well, you know, I was kind of on a healing trek. I was trying to find answers through the Lord. I asked, we prayed and prayed and prayed for healing for him for a number of years, and we also went to healing seminars, healing places where, you know, we had heard that there was movements and healing, but nothing. We even had somebody come to our house, I think, too, and none of that worked. So at that moment of time, it was a time of reckoning, and I just asked God, you know, well, what's the answer? And it was a very desperate time for us. But what happened was I asked the doctor if I could donate one of my kidneys to Colin, because we had been looking at kidney transplant. And the doctor asked me if I had high blood pressure, if I was on any blood pressure medications. And I was on 3 blood pressure medications at the time. And so she said, no, there's no way you're going to be able to donate your kidney. But no actually turned into a mission for myself. So I went to the doctor and I asked the doctor, well, what can I do? And he put me on a regimen of diet and exercise. You know, I was told that I couldn't get rid of my high blood pressure because it was hereditary. But through diet and exercise, I was able to get down to one blood pressure medication. And so 6 months later, I was ready to donate my kidney to Colin.
You wrote, Robin, that your will was for God to heal Colin.
Yes.
God's will was to heal in ways that I could never have possibly imagined at that time.
Yes.
What took place?
Well, in the process of trying to heal Colin, or in God actually healed me too. So by the time our surgery was over, and it was highly successful surgery, Colin can share a little bit more about that. The doctor took me off of all blood pressure medications, and so in that process of time, he healed both of us.
I have a question about a husband and wife and a match. Statistically, is that very common?
Well, Colin, I think you should share a little bit about that.
You know, there's a passage that says that for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.
Yes.
I'm going to make that very real. There's a medical phenomenon between husbands and wives. And when they get a transplant, when the blood matches, when they get a transplant, it's as good or better than a sibling or a relative. And it is a medical phenomenon.
Wow.
And so, you know, for us, it was just confirmation. God is alive. He does supernatural things. And medical science cannot explain it.
Yes. Thank you.
As you've gone through this experience, what has the Lord done in your heart for one another and for the Lord?
Well, back in 2013 when this happened, we were working together in a nonprofit, Touch a Heart, and we were serving the homeless in the beaches on the Leeward Coast. And what I believe happened is that the Lord gave us another chance at quality of life. But what he really showed us is that whatever ministry we were going to do, we were going to do it together. So in 2014, we had a big fundraising function for Touch a Heart, and we shared the vision for our nonprofit. And from then on, it just kind of been skyrocketing. The Lord has been doing amazing things and blessing it beyond imagine. And we could share. Colin, maybe you want to share a little bit about the
I think that
too.
We had been feeding the homeless for quite a number of years. And in 2012, we had already been praying about starting our own nonprofit. And one of the board members called us up and said, you know, if you'd like, you can take this nonprofit. Apparently, their executive director had passed away and nobody wants to run it. So if you would like to, we have some money, you can just have it. And so we took it over. And in our discussions with our board members, and we brought on some new board members, we said that feeding the homeless is fine. There's a number of groups that do it. It's not very common for the homeless to starve to death in Hawaii. So we said, well, what if we were to train them for jobs? So instead of feeding them a fish and supplying a meal for a day, why don't we feed them for a lifetime? And so we redirected Touch a Heart into a training organization.
We decided to teach them how to fish.
That's exactly what it is. And so Do you want to explain how?
Yeah, so what we decided to do was go with a little bit of a different model, because Colin and a number of our board members had experience in food service. And so instead of trying to reinvent the wheel with doing something maybe other nonprofits in the homeless arena were doing, we decided to focus on the things that we were experts in or had some expertise in. And what we decided to do was do something that I kind of call collaboration and community. And what that means is that we were going to look for somebody, another nonprofit that was willing to allow us to use an underutilized commercial kitchen that they had. Mm-hmm. And in that kitchen, we would do two things. The first thing would be we would put our program in there. And then the second thing was that we would turn it into a social enterprise, that we would be able to create some type of food service revenue-generating entity so that we could feed the program and we become more sustainable in that way.
You might be saying to yourself, wow, his life is saved. He gets a new kidney. He gets his wife's kidney, which statistically, the medical phenomenon, it's better than a sibling's kidney. And to hear the story of what God is using them to do with their ministry or their nonprofit, touch a heart, way working with homeless, homeless women.
Yes,
right?
Sheltered homeless women.
When we come back from our break, of course, we're going to hear more. It's only our first segment. But you might be saying to me right now, in your heart, Danny, why so fast? I want to hear more about what took place in them in this transplant experience.
Yes.
Well, we'll take a few moments to talk about that. In fact, here, Colin, I wonder whether it was easy or hard for him to surrender to God in this process, and if it wasn't, why? What was going on in his heart? You see, these are matters of the heart when we talk about health, when we talk about healing. The Lord surgically works in us with great care, and when healing takes place, it's not just something external, it's internal, deeply spiritually. Stay with us. Back with Colin and Robin Kumabe. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chanan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
What if someone wants to give you a gift? Would you receive it? Well, most of us would say, of course I would receive that gift. It's a gift. Well, there are certain gifts that may not be as easy to receive. You say, what are you talking about? Well, you're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer, Colin and Robin Kumabe. You can find out more about them and their nonprofit organization working with sheltered women at touchaheart.hawaii.org. You can find out more about this program. Get this particular program in its entirety for free at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Colin, in what ways did you have to surrender to God in the process of receiving Robin's kidney?
You know, I'm going to kind of go back in time a little as I was going through my renal failure. This is the first time I think there was a surrender. As I was going into convulsions and I was slowly passing out, I was asking myself, I distinctly remember this. I was saying to myself, is this it? Am I ready? You know, and I was slowly passing out, couldn't breathe. And I felt a peace. I tell you now, I felt a very much felt a peace. And as you know, fortunately, I didn't totally pass out. I went to the hospital, and they said, okay, you had a renal failure. Then we went, the next thing was a dialysis. And I looked up the statistics, and I said, oh, statistics are 5 to 7 years extension. And so I said, okay, I can live that. I can accept that. Okay, God. You know, I was praying a lot, and God said, you know, don't worry. I really felt this. And then Robin came along and says, I want to try to give you my kidney. And my kids were there, and I'm like, I refuse. And then Robin passes, and I said, you know, I've lived my life. I'm okay. I feel at peace. And amazingly, thanks to one of the doctors, he says, you know, there is no statistical evidence that says she will have a shorter life than I will. And again, you know, that medical phenomenon about husbands and wives, and I said, okay. It was very difficult, and I just really had to surrender.
Robin, why do you feel Colin's surrendering to God was more difficult?
I think inside he was feeling a sense of that he didn't deserve. He didn't deserve to have anybody's kidney, my kidney or children's kidney, because they were willing to give theirs too. But, you know, he had lived his life, and, you know, there were things that maybe he shouldn't have eaten, or, you know, had not necessarily taken as good of care of his health as he could have. And I believe that, yeah, he just was really feeling like he didn't deserve that, and that if it was especially going to make any of our lives a less, you know, less of an ability to live a good life, then he didn't want to do that. So it was very difficult for him to receive the gift that we were trying to give him, or I was trying to give him.
Once he said that he would do it, you were already in a condition where,
yes,
it was a green light.
Yes. So it was just a matter at that point of getting him ready. And he had, you know, different heart issues. He had tests that he had to pass. And it took us maybe about 3 months or so before he was actually ready to receive the kidney. His body was in a good enough health condition to receive it.
If you can go back just to that time, I would imagine that there's an anticipation of lengthened life, better quality of life, but the tension being that there's no guarantee.
Yes.
There are many variables involved. A lot could go, quote unquote, wrong.
Yes.
So how did you work through that, and how did your faith in God give you stability and hope?
That was, without the faith in God, we would have not been able to even survive. Just the stress or the feeling of anxiety. But we knew that if we had gone through this many hurdles, that the Lord had a plan that we didn't understand yet. We didn't know what the other side would be. But I remember sharing when we were sharing about our kidney story before the kidney transplant happened, that the Lord really put onto our hearts that whatever he was going to do after the kidney transplant, when it was successful, that we were going to truly be serving him in a very different capacity than what we were doing before.
What does the name Jehovah Rapha, what does that mean?
That's God, our healer. He was the healer for us. And healing in so many ways, too. Our children, if you can imagine where our children were at that point in time, too, because they had the possibility of losing both of us. And so we brought, our children are older now, and so our eldest daughter came in from Oregon, and our son and daughter kind of took off of work and all of those things just to be ready for the surgery. And I remember the night before, we started talking about all the ifs and what could happen. We went through our trust and, our different documents and told them where everything was at. But we prayed and we had a good laugh. We took some pictures on Facebook. And I just knew that the Lord was going to perform the miracles that he had been showing us already.
Mm-hmm. And I think that even moving forward from that point, because we were already in charge of Touch a Heart at that point, and just moving forward from that, how God started just using us in Touch a Heart and just changing. There were roadblocks, of course. There were desert experiences and all that. But, our Lord is good. He stayed with us, and he's opened up so many doors. He opens up some, he closes some. But it's for us to be faithful and to really believe. And that's really what's important, even to this day.
The other thing that happened was our church family, our small group, everybody rallied around. We had so much prayer surrounding us. We had one couple that put a hui together so that we could have some extra cash on hand while we were going through the recovery process. And our kids, all three of them, they just rose to the occasion. And they just showered love, just so much love on us.
Robin, may I ask if you're comfortable answering?
Yes.
At that time, going into the double transplant, did each of your children have a depth of faith?
Through the years, their faith has been not as strong, especially through college. But they all prayed, and they all... they were very strong at that point in time, knowing that they believed that the power of prayer was going to heal us. Yeah.
That's so wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah. It was I thought it was very humorous when we went over all those documents. And they were so quiet, you know, and because we're talking about life now. It's yes. No fantasy. We're talking about the possibility of something going wrong. And I believe that that was a wake-up call for them.
Yes.
Because, you know, you think when you're young, you're immortal. And the fact of the matter is, we are not, you know.
Good reminder for all of us. We can so easily take life for granted. We can take one another for granted. We can take those who are closest to us for granted. We do that. I do that. Why? Why do I do that? Why do we do that? Because they are always there. That's the whole thing. It's quite dumbfounding when you think about it. Why would we treat someone who we love so much the way that we do, or not say certain things that we wish we would have were they not there? You know, cry over the quote-unquote spilled milk when if they were not there, you wish they would spill it 1,000 times and it would be okay. That's, you know, it would true. Not matter. When we come back from our break, more from Colin and Robin Kumabe. I'm glad we spent a little bit more time talking about what has happened recently and how the Lord has sustained you. And He has transformed your lives and your relationship, and really your focus for what you're doing today. And it's touching a very needy nerve in our society. It's exemplary what you're doing, not only in the state of Hawaii, but perhaps it could be a model, or maybe it's a mix of various components that has been put together that could be transferred elsewhere. Homelessness, that's a problem all over the world. Robin and Colin Kumabe, we'll share more when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
In addition to being the executive director of Touch a Heart, Robin Kumabe is the founder and CEO of Be Cause, an organization that is committed to transforming cause-driven businesses into thriving, sustainable enterprises by helping them reach their full profitable potential. Well, she's certainly doing that. God is using her to do just that at Touch a Heart. Today, they're working with women, sheltered women in their organization. I want them to explain what happened in 2014 at a Touch a Heart, the first Touch a Heart fundraising event.
Oh, yes, the very first fundraising event that we had was, that was a miracle too. Pretty grassroots, but we made all of the food, you know, our volunteers helped, and we shared the vision for Touch a Heart. And it was from that day moving forward that all of these different people that had gathered there caught the vision. And they started opening up and offering different things, whether it be Salvation Army offering to let us use their commercial kitchen in the Kaimuki campus and work together with their women that are in their program, to Pono Shim donating his Ulu ice cream recipe for us to share and to make some profit on so that we can continue the program moving forward.
The New Frontier Chronicle, an article on June 8, 2016, new culinary, Hawaiian and Pacific Islands, new culinary training program thrives in Hawaii. Partnership's early success helped Salvation Army secure a $50,000 grant. When these things began to develop, how did you take it? Growth beginning to take place, certain surprises that you didn't expect?
Yes. Colin, maybe you want to share a little bit on that, the growth aspect.
Okay. Well, when we Salvation Army asked us to do their training program, we had been in talks with them for about 2 years. And finally they said, oh, why don't we try it? We have, you know, the money. And so the first people that actually helped us was
the Hayashi Foundation.
Hayashi Foundation. They were willing to let us go for 2 sessions as a pilot. And from then, Salvation Army actually funded it for three more sessions.
Through
a Walmart grant. And we were able to hone down this program, this culinary. It was basically a life skills program with a career path to food service. That's what it was called. And so we were able to work with the women very closely, very high touch, and we were able to get very good results from that. So
explain a little bit about what the program offers and what actually takes place.
We usually work 1 to 4 or 2 to 4. In other words, 2 instructors to 4 students. We get to know the students, find out about them. They find out about us. We become their friends. And then we teach them about life skills. Things like learning to shop, learning sanitation, all of these different things, basic things. Then we teach them how to do simple things like cook eggs and all of that. But through that, what we look at is the inside. We look at the person deep inside, because skills can be taught. But when you're looking at a person that's been broken, you need to work on their spirit. You need to build them up, inspire them, show them what what has been taken away from them, show them who they are in the sight of God. And that's really what the base of Touch a Heart is.
And Colin, are these women that were part of the Salvation Army program, recovery program?
That's what it is. They were all mothers with young children and in drug recovery.
I think the miracle about them is that Salvation Army's program is the only one that accepts women with children and allows them to be with their children. So these women have to go through some rigorous testing, and they have a lot of rules in order to stay in this program, but their love for their children and being able to keep their children or get them back is what sustains them and keeps them moving forward in this program. So with our program, being able to have the food services and the life skills tied into it, it just gives them even more pride and more of a feeling that they can do it, that they can bring back the things that they lost as a mother and really care for their children and then get a job that would actually bring them into being able to provide for their children in a meaningful way and even, you know, get housing at that point in time, too.
It gives them hope.
Very much hope.
Very much so.
Well, I think dignity is very important, too.
Yes.
We all... A healthy sense of esteem, contribution.
Our tagline says transforming lives one heart at a time, and we've seen transformation happen in these women. It's just such a rewarding thing, you know. So it's being able to have our lives have another lease on life for ourselves has actually compelled us even more to do what we believe God's called us to do in this nonprofit organization. And that's been the thing that's been driving us. And, you know, God's been blessing us with many, many volunteers, people that want to help, for-profit organizations that are donating money, foundations, even the state GIA grant we were able to receive, you know. So so there's something happening, and the Lord is just blessing us right now, which sometimes can cause other issues.
Well, like what?
Colin, maybe you can share.
That's a great setup, Robin.
And she hands it over to me. Yes, there are, when you're moving like we are, there are a lot of opportunities that come your way. And what we learned is not every opportunity is a good one. It may be just the wrong timing. It's exciting, but you have to be really wise. So we have to pray a lot about it. And there are a lot of challenges because we are human, my wife and I and the board, so we don't always agree. And we have to know, you know, our board is Christian, and we have this one thing that we all go to when we make decisions, and that's the Lord. It has to be that way. So we have that one standard aside from ourselves.
Yeah. When growth takes place, leadership, let's talk a little bit about leadership. Growth takes place, a catalytic leader or catalytic leadership team, as you are, growth begins to take place around you. But like you were saying, Colin, in not so many words, but growth can be dynamic. And as things take place, more people get involved, more resources are available, an asset of leadership can sometimes change. What have you experienced in terms of growth taking place, and how has that impacted maybe some life lessons for you?
For myself, I realized in the very beginning, I designed the training program. I headed the baking side of it, the catering side of it. And as we started expanding, other people got involved that took responsibilities. And I looked at it and I noticed I was getting frustrated because it wasn't going the way I wanted to. And so I had to look at it with different eyes, a different perspective, and I had to ask that question. Am I going to be the one that stops the growth of the organization? So am I willing to give that up, give that responsibility up? And I still, there's parts of it that I've given up and there's parts of it I still pray about. But the question has to be, can I give it up? You know, I don't want it to be all about me.
Why do you feel the question is that you have to give it up?
Because I would be hindering the growth of it. It's something that I want, yet because of my own pride or selfishness even, that I would actually stop it. Because when you get too involved and you start claiming that it's yours, that's mm-hmm. when there becomes a problem, you know. And so we always have to look at that to make sure that, you know, as we involve different people, different experts, and they're telling you, oh, you know what, maybe you should think about this, and you go, oh, no, I don't. That's when you have to really look at it and say, you know what, maybe you're the problem.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, he's honest. he's articulating things that some may think or even do, but might not be open to the fact that that's actually happening. It's very revealing. Not of course, your transparency reflects on the rest of us. I think it could be conciliatory if we respond to that, kind of a self-check.
Right.
But how about this? Instead of letting it go, and maybe you are saying this, what I'm going to mention, it's just in a different way. Instead of letting it go, how about changing your perspective and even changing your way so that you can still be involved? Or maybe you are thinking of that. You're not thinking about leaving, but you're still going to be involved.
Oh, yeah, definitely. When I said that, not quitting.
Yeah, right. I just want to make that clear,
too. No, I am
too.
The director of operations, so yeah, yeah. I have to oversee all the operation. And as the operations expand, for example, the catering, you brought in a chef. I don't always agree how he does things because I used to be the chef.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, you know, I have to be able to let go and let him do his thing in order for the business to expand and us to bring in more clients that we can train. You know, I can't be nitpicky.
So in this process, Colin, you're expanding on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
Like you're, as God is opening you up by revealing these things, reflection, right? Moment mm-hmm. of reflection, God reveals, and then you expand. And as you expand, so does Touch Your Heart. Yes. The services, the programs expands. Well, it's a lesson to all of us, lesson to me, certainly, about letting God expand me on the inside. Mm-hmm. You, my friend, as you listen, us, expanding us on the inside. When we come back, more from Robin and Colin Kumabe. Robin wrote, as we reflected on this next season, the season they're in now, we've recognized that the Lord is giving us a new lease on life, a fuller life, and that He has plans for us together. We believe that God is giving us our opportunity of a lifetime to do ministry as one, and that Touch Your Heart is our calling together. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
One lesson Robin and Colin Kumabe teach students is how to use leftovers from one meal to make beef and vegetable soup the next day. It's little tips that show them how to save money and feed their families. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer, Colin and Robin Kumabe from Touch a Heart are with us today. Find out more about them at touchaheart.hawaii.org. So finish. Tell us further. What were those little tips to show them how to save money and using leftovers to make beef and vegetable soup?
Well, I know that we also help them to become a little bit more entrepreneurish. And so they have trips to Chinatown to look for specials. They also get their food safety certificate, which is actually a manager's certificate, so that they know that they have that for the restaurants, which is actually a rule now or law now. The other thing is that we've been trying to show them what they could do, maybe creating their own products and having them sell it at a farmer's market or things like that. But yeah, we do definitely teach. I think one of the things we've taught them is to take a chicken and have meals for the whole week, different types of meals from that one chicken.
Mm-hmm. How to, for example, if you go and you buy boneless skinless chicken, 10 pounds, you can buy it for half price if you buy it with the bone in. Yes. So we teach them how to debone the chicken, how to make katsu and different other things, stir fries, a different number of methods, how to use fresh food versus McDonald's and all that, which they're very used to, and teach them the ramifications of eating that type of food. So we deal with nutrition. And what she says about that food safety certificate, that's one of those inspirational building the inside out. There are manager certificates and there are food handler certificates. The manager certificates is 2 days long, 8 hours. But I work with the Department of Health to get their training down to only 4 hours. Mm. And then they take the test. So far, every single person has passed. And now it's a requirement by law that they have this. And so we work very close with them, and they're very proud of it. It's something that the state gave out, so they know that they are recognized.
So good.
Tell us some stories of some of the women that have gone through the program and are now on their way.
Well, we have actually one gal that was with us from the beginning. She was in our first class, which originally was 2 12-week sessions. Her name is Casey, and she is still with us. She went through our internship program. Right now we have a program that we pay our interns in, and she's now an apprentice, so she's been working with us for a very long time. And just amazing stories. She has 3 children, has gone through so many different hardships, but she is excellent. She's just gained back her confidence. She wouldn't even be able to talk to people before, but now she can help other girls in the training as well. So amazing story with her. There's so many, though. Yeah.
Yeah, they're we send them off. One of our goals is when before they graduate, we try to redo their resumes, teach them how to interview, send them off to places. We have a good network, so we send them off to places. As far as we know, I think 90% are working at this time.
Yeah. Do you know, is it a set program with the Salvation Army? I mean, are they there a set number of years?
The program at Salvation Army is pretty set, but it isn't. There's 3 programs in Salvation Army.
Okay.
But our program is only 12 weeks, and it isn't only now with Salvation Army. We have moved to Central Union Church's kitchen now, and that's a much larger kitchen, and we can receive people from, we've talked to IHS, we've talked with people from YWCA, the women there at the Fernhurst program. We've talked to many others, yeah.
Youth programs. So it opened the scope. Instead of being exclusively Salvation Army, we can now service other organizations. And why we use organizations, why we collaborate with them, is I still go out every week, yes, to feed the homeless, to keep my ear to the ground, you might say, and my touch there. It would be very difficult for me to take somebody who's on ICE and bring them into our program. Mm-hmm. You know, so we need that wraparound services. So we need it. We knew from the very beginning we needed organizations that had those services, and we could become the vocational training for them.
And then we can work together with their case managers and work on specific issues with these women that they might have hardships with. And you know, like for example, one of the hardest things for these women is childcare. So even to have childcare and monies for childcare to be in our program has been very difficult. Mm-hmm. So all of those things are things that we've kind of used to rework the program and add different elements to it. So yeah, today, right now, we have a paid internship program because of that.
Well, talking about entrepreneurialism, you're creating some very unique resources, food-wise. Colin, explain some of that.
Well, and I'll go back again. 2007, I was in the Bay Area working on a development project for what they call far infrared technologies. It's like microwaves and all this. It was a heating system. And what happened during that time, I got to learn a lot about how the market works in Silicon Valley and how the thinking is and who you need to know. Something happened during that time. It was the Haiti earthquake.
Mm.
So we had been talking to some people, and I ended up in Haiti about 6 months later. And it was devastating. My son was with me. He had come out of Iraq, and he said, this looks like a war zone. Mm-hmm. And what I saw there was amazing. People with nothing could come out of the ashes, and they could create, and they're very ingenious. The organization I was with was El Shaddai Ministries. They're actually part of the Presbyterian Church in North Carolina. And they had, I believe it was 24 orphanages, 3 medical centers, 18 schools, and they had a couple of seminaries. What was interesting about that, what I learned, was that when you have nothing, you have to find ingenious ways to actually sustain yourself as a church. So they introduced me to different ideas they had, and I brought that back. Mm. So when we create products, I know I have to look at the market and see what is there. If I'm going to create businesses for my clients, we have to be on top of the market, know where it's at, and find ways to actually be viable.
So with the ULU that we, Colin had done a lot of research, extensive research on for the ice cream, he developed ULU flour. He used the ULU in a different way and created ULU flour for our baked products. And after the ULU flour, which is a locally grown breadfruit from Mililani, he looked at Kiawe pod flour and poi flour. And so we've been using that in our pancake mixes and in our cookies as well.
So yeah, if you get to know people, you know their plights. I'm for helping the farmer out. Mm. Good brother. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have a good brother that has 400 trees. That I love him very much.
Creative,
anyway, yeah.
Entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
Technical, observant research.
Colin is pretty amazing.
He leaves no stone unturned. You look at something and you'll see potential there that someone else might just glance right on over. Colin and Robin Kumabe have been with us sharing today. You can find out more about them and their organization at touchaheart.hawaii.org. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
What a story, huh, Suzanne?
It's just wonderful. And don't lose sight of the miracles that we began with and how beautifully God has been leading you and you have been obediently following.
Find out more about Colin and Robin. Again, touchaheart.hawaii.org. God's timing, my friend, is indeed perfect. We've seen his timing in their lives. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, I believe this is a perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a video there for you. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers and financial support, thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Colin and Robin Kumabe, touchaheart.hawaii.org. Until next time, along with Suzanne Maurer, my co-host, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.